Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be doing my WNBA draft recap. I'll go through all the teams, tell you who they picked, and all those sort of things. And also, the commissioner had something interesting to say. I'll play you the sound, and then we'll chop it up from there. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, the draft is over. We all know where everybody's going, more or less, that is. But we will chop up the draft. I'll tell you, you know, the main players I think you need to keep an eye on. You know, we'll go through every team and so on and so forth. So, and then, like I said, also, I want to play you some sound that the commissioner said, and we'll just, I'll just expound, if you will, off of that. So, with that said, let's get right into it. So, they had the draft on Monday. That was April 14th, and it was in New York. I didn't go this year, guys. I went last year because I had to be there for the historic draft. I didn't go this year. I had opportunity to go, but I said, you know what? Let me just be at home. And to be honest, of course, being there is a nice experience. I'm glad I was able to experience it. But when you're home, you're able to do more as far as follow what's being said and all those sort of things and the analysis that happens in the booth and all that sort of stuff. So, and then the different interviews, you get to hear that. So it was nice to be there that last year, but I kind of prefer to be at home watching it, to be honest with you. So with that said, let's get into it, guys. What I will do, I'll go alphabetically through the teams, even the ones that had no pick or one pick, I'll go through that as well. So with that said, let's do it. All right, guys. So we'll start off with the Atlanta Dream. They didn't get a pick until actually the second round. And in that second round, guys, they end up going with the likes of Tahina Pau-Pau, which I thought that was pretty, the fact that they were able to get Tahina Pau-Pau so late in the draft, I was actually kind of stunned by that. But that's where she fell, guys, to the Atlanta Dream. Now, the Atlanta Dream is a team where they were able to get some free agents. You got Brittany Griner that came there. You also have the likes of a Brianna Jones joining them also. Then already in the mix, guys, you have players like Ryan Howard there, Alyssa Gray, Jordan Canada. So as far as Pau-Pau's fit, he'll be as a shooting guard, I imagine. So she can learn from the likes of Alyssa Gray, she's fantastic, guys. So you have somebody like that in the fold that you're learning from. And the thing with Alyssa Gray, she's very humble, guys. So she'll be more than willing to help Pau-Pau along. And then also, too, you have the fact that that's a South Carolina connection there. So I actually like this for Tahina, her going to a place like this. And, you know, they still have guards over there like Ariel Powell's. They also have a Haley Jones that's still there. But I think Pau-Pau sticks. I think she sticks to the roster. So as far as, because the one thing you can never have enough of, then that's three-point shooting, something she's very proficient in, guys. So, yeah, so I think probably the first year will be a learning curve as she goes along, but I'm happy for Tina Pow Pow. She goes to a place where at least she has somebody, you know, a fellow alum, if you will, from the University of South Carolina that can help her along. So I think that'll go a long way for her. And then their other pick was Taylor Theory. They picked her in the third round, guys, out of Ohio State. So, and you got a new coach there called Metzko. So we'll see how he employs Tahina. But I think this is a, if she was to go to a place, I think this is a nice spot for her to land. So kudos to the Atlanta Dream. All right, let us continue. The Chicago Sky, who's now coached by former Aces assistant coach Tyler Marsh. I hear a lot of good things about him. He's a developmental coach. So, and this is his first draft. And these are the players he gets to work with. In the, for the 10th pick, they picked Asia Sivka. And she's out of Slovenia. Guys, I hear she's a 19-year-old. She's a stretch four, something that the Chicago Sky kind of need, to be honest with you, because you have Angel Reese, who you know she can pound it inside. Her face-up game isn't quite there yet, but that's a work in progress, guys. So you have a player like Sivka who could come in and spell Angel, perhaps even spell Camilla Cardozo. She can spell her as well. So you have that. But she's 19 years old. So, you know, there's going to be a bit of a waiting period. And then you got to still find out if she able to come over and not staying overseas, if you will, to play in Europe. So, but if she's able to come here, that'll be a nice developmental player for Coach Marsh there. And then with the 11th pick, and this is a pick, guys, that they recently got from, actually, I believe they made a trade with Minnesota to get, yes, with Minnesota Lynx to get this pick. So, and with this pick, they picked Haley Van Lith. So Haley Van Lith tumbles down to the 11th spot, and Chicago Sky scoops her right up. Last year, she played with TCU. Well, this past season, she played with TCU. She really upped her value after the kind of debacle with LSU, where her numbers was down across the board. But Haley comes actually to a prime position here, guys, because she gets to learn from the likes of a Courtney Vandersloot, who comes back to Chicago. She spent a few years in New York, but she comes back to Chicago, guys. That's where it all started for her. She won a championship there. So she comes back to kind of help this young team. So Haley gets to learn at the feet of Slooty. So I think that this is prime for her in that regard. And then, of course, the overwhelming thought on this is that she gets reunited with Angel Reese. Remember, they played together at LSU. Things didn't work out quite as well. They did make it to Elite Eight, but as far as going all the way. They didn't do that. But Angel is a big Hailey Van Lift supporter. She supported her when she transferred to TCU. She was one of her big supporters there. And then they just kept a contact with one another. Hailey revealed it in her press conference. So the two have a tight bond. So it'll be nice her being reunited with Angel over there. So we'll see how they mesh together in that regard. But I think this is a nice spot for him, Hailey Van Lift. And then with the pick in the second round, at pick 16, they get Maddie Westbelt, another power forward. So I'm not sure how she's going to fit in. She is a long defender, guys, with a nice touch around the rim. So there's that. And then later in that second round, they get Aisha Koulibaly from Texas A&M, and she's a shooting guard. So, but like I said, Chicago retooling there. They're for the following season. Doesn't look like they'll have a lot of wiggle room, especially as far as getting in the draft again. So they're kind of putting their eggs all in this basket as far as this draft goes. But you'll have a starting lineup. You'll have Vandersloot there with Ariel Atkins, who they got from Washington, Angel Reese, as well as Camilla Cardozo, and more likely than not, Michelle Onaware. She'll probably be the small forward for that team. But again, somebody like Sitka, maybe you could slide her over to the three as she develops as a player in the W. So I like what they did. I like what Chicago did in this regard. So we'll see how things shake out. My only thing is I don't trust Chicago Sky front office. They always find a way to bungle up everything, but it seems like they're in the right spot right now with Tyler Marsh there as the coach. So we'll see what happens. Let us move on. Connecticut Sun. And they're coached by a first-year coach, Rashid Mezian. And he's a French coach, guys. So he'll probably have a system where, you know, he likes a lot of ball movement there. Definitely take advantage of the outside shooting. He'll be able to do that for this club. Now, as far as their picks go, with the seventh pick, much like Angel last year, Anissa Morrow slides down to the seventh spot out of LSU. I think this was a very great get for the Connecticut Sun. She's a walking double-double, even at 6'1". She has that dog in her, so she goes to a prime situation over there with the Connecticut Sun. I think it's a very good spot for her. Because you got to remember, guys, the Sun, a lot of their players left. In fact, their whole starting lineup left, either via trade or free agency. So there's a lot of open space there, guys, for a starting spot and definitely some playing time. They were able to bring over the likes of Atina Charles. She signed there as a free agent. And then also, too, guys, you still have Marina Marbury there, although she's making overtures about wanting to be traded, so we'll see. As of now, the management over there, Jen Rosati, she's up in their front office. She said, right now, they don't look to move her. Marbury, that is. So, looks like she's there for the long haul. They were also able to acquire J.C. Sheldon from the Dallas Wings. So, you got another player there. Diamond and Shields, they were able to add. So they have some players there. And then you got a holdover like Olivia Nelson, Adoda, and I think she could be one person who ends up in the starting lineup. And then you add in a Anissa Morrow, who has not only an inside game, she has a bit of an outside game too that she's developed. So I think you could probably put her as a small forward there, and I just love the fit. And then also, with the very next pick, they pick Saniya Rivers, who they're saying she's a small forward, but I think she could play a number of positions. I think she could be a shooting guard for them. I think she could even be a point guard. That's how versatile she is. But a very good get for them to have building blocks like Morrow and Rivers here. Wow. That's going to go a long way because, remember, like I said, they lost a lot of firepower there. You lose the engine, Alyssa Thomas. Then you lose her mate, Dawana Bonner. You lose a Breonna Jones. You also lose Defensive Player of the Year, Dejanae Carrington. Well, a candidate, that is. Dejanae Carrington. And then also Taisha Harris. You lost all of them. They were starters. So you lose all five of those ladies. So you got spots there that open up for you. So that gives these rookies a really great chance. And then in the beginning of the third round, they were able to get Araya Marshall. I think this is a pick that can fly under the radar, guys. Marshall, she has a real chance to make this squad with what she did at USC. So you have Rivers there who can fill up the stat sheet. You have Morrow who's a double-double right then and there. She can score the basketball as well. I think Connecticut Sun really did good for themselves in this draft. So that's the story with the Suns. The Dallas Wings. Now everybody's giving them an A+ for this draft, obviously, being that you had the number one pick overall. And then you have a first-year coach here and Chris Kosinas. He's a defensive coach, guys, so he's going to want his players to D up and to play solid defense, so bear that in mind. Of course, with the number one pick, they take Paige Beckers. Paige Beckers, guys, I talked about her when I did the championship episode. You know what she can do. She can do it all on the basketball court. Score, rebound, assist. Play defense. She's able to bring all of that, guys. Now, what position she plays will be very intriguing, guys. I say right now, because some people are saying she'll be the point guard there. She could be the small forward there. You could, and that's the thing with Paige. You could put her in a number of places. It won't be shooting guard because we know Arika Ogunbowale, she'll maintain that spot. So there's that. But yeah, Paige, you could put her in a few different positions if you like. So, and the best thing about Paige Beckers, she is able to make those around her better. And that's the highest compliment you could give to a player. And she has earned that. So there's your number one pick. And then at the back end of the first round, You get Aisha James from North Carolina State, who was the teammate of Saniah Rivers. You know, those two are really tight. So you have both NC State players going in the first round, a beautiful thing there. And James, she's a walking bucket. She is a walking bucket, guys. She's going to be able to score. Where does she fit as far as this team goes? More likely than not, she'll be coming off their bench, obviously. So there you have that. But I think, she's one of those building block pieces, I think, for the Dallas Wings. And then, guys, they was also able to get two picks later, Madison Scott, who played at Ole Miss. She's a shooting guard, but, guys, she can defend all five positions. That's how good she is, guys. I think this is a player that coach will fall in love with, being that he's a defensive-minded coach. So Madison Scott, I think, will fit somewhere in the picture for them. And then as you round it out, J.J. Quinterly, and she's out of West Virginia. She was the 27th pick. And then Aronette Vonleh, the center out of Baylor, she was the 31st pick. So, yeah. Like I said, Madison Scott, an absolute dog on defense. So, will she see opportunity right away? I doubt it, but again, the fact that she's able to get in there and defend, I think, could go a long way. Right now, I was just looking at a projection as far as starting lineup goes. They're talking about Paige Beckers, of course, Arike. And then remember, too, they acquired Dejanay Carrington, so she'll start along with her mate, Nalissa Smith, and then also Tierra McCowan. That'll be your center, guys. But coming off your bench, you got Maddie Segrist, who I thought was a candidate for most improved player last year. She's coming back, and she had a nice season there for Athletes Unlimited over there. That 3-on-3 league. So she's coming in with a bit of confidence. Maisha Hines Allen, who you brought in as a free agent. Also, you have her there as well. Taysha Harris, who was part of that big trade. She's there also. You still have a Lou Lopez Senechal. So there's opportunity here, guys, for some of these rookies to make an impact, obviously, Paige, but also James and Scott as well. So see what happens there. And even Vonleh, because right now your center is McCowan and not much else. So even Vonleh got a shot here. We'll see. So that's the story with Dallas. The Golden State Valkyrie. Now, guys, a lot was made of their pick that they made at number 5. Their coach is former Las Vegas Aces assistant coach, Natasha Nasaki. And it seems like, guys, they're going for international flavor over there. That's the way it seems, guys. With the first pick, their first ever pick, guys, they take Josh Jokolite. I know I'm tearing up this name, but she's out of Lithuania, a shooting guard, and she's a bit of a wild card, guys. From what I saw of her highlight reel and all those sort of things, she's a guard who can light it up. Only thing is, it will she be coming over? Because, you know, the thing with overseas, you know, will they allow her to go? Will she want to go? And all those sort of things. So, you know, a lot of Valkyrie fans are like, you know, you had the opportunity for Nisa Morrow, which everybody was wanting them to pick her. They didn't do that. But so we'll see in that regard. And then in the second round, I think they got a player who I think will be the absolute steal of this draft. Cheyenne Sellers, guys, out of Maryland. She's one who can run the floor at 6'2", optimum size for your point guard, able to see the floor and see everything that goes on. And she's able to get buckets as well. I think she's going to be an absolute steal in this draft, guys. And mind you, you know, you already have a veteran presence. Well, she only played a year in the W, but she's played many years overseas. Julie Vanloo, who they got via the expansion draft. So that's the only roadblock for Sellers as far as getting in that starting lineup. So she has a real opportunity here, guys. And then with the 30th pick, much to Paige Becker's delight, at number 30, Caitlin Chen, the graduate student who was playing at UConn, coming out of Princeton. She was picked by the Valkyrie. So she faces a tough role, though, because right ahead of her, as far as point guards go, you have Vanloo, like I said, and the just drafted Cheyenne Sellers. So could she still make the squad? We'll see. But she did get drafted, guys. So you put a feather in her cap for that. So there you go. But that was the Valkyries draft, guys. Let us move on. The Indiana Fever. Of course, coached by Stephanie White now. She's moved on from Connecticut. Now she's with Indiana, which is her home state, guys. So they were able to get Michaela Timpson. And she's out of Florida State, guys. A power forward at pick 19. So they're able to get her. And she's one who has a nice touchdown low. She's a walking double-double, guys. So that's a nice pick. Whether these picks stick or not, we'll see. Because remember, the Indiana Fever were very busy in the offseason, guys, bringing in free agents like Dawana Bonner, Natasha Howard, also brought in Sydney Colson. You got Sophie coming in, Sophie Cunningham, who you got via trade. So you got a lot of vets coming in, guys. Brianna Turner as well. Let's not forget her. So whether these drafted players stick, we'll see. But because you already have there, you have Caitlin Clark, obviously, the engine that makes them go. You have Aaliyah Boston there. You got Kelsey Mitchell. You also have Lexi Hall. So, and you also have the likes of Jaylen Brown there, Damaris Dantas, also Erica Wheeler, she's still around. So it's not many spots here, guys. So maybe one draft pick or two, maybe we'll see. But and even with that, will they get playing time? This squad is deep right now, so we'll see. But it's a nice problem to have for Stephanie White. And, you know, she knows how to, you know, work with the personnel she has. So we'll see what's what. So with that said, let us move on. Las Vegas Aces, coached by the wonderful Becky Hammon. Guys, they had a couple of picks in this draft. In the second round at pick 13, right at the top of the top of that round, they pick Aaliyah Nye, a shooting guard out of Alabama. Mind you, she had no idea she would be drafted, but she dressed for the occasion. That's for sure. But she was there to support her teammate, Sarah Ashley Barker. But she ended up getting drafted by the Aces. Kind of like the story from last year with Kate Martin, how she was there for Caitlin Clark and she ends up getting drafted. So kind of in the same vein, but so they draft her and she can get you buckets. She can get you buckets, guys. She can launch it from deep. Again, I continue to say you cannot have enough 3-point firepower, and that's what she gives you. Also, Harmony Turner. They got her in the third round. She was the 35th pick coming out of Harvard, much like someone we used to know who came out of Harvard, Allison Feaster, kind of in that same vein. She's a shooting guard. She was averaging over 22 points a game for Harvard. So another bucket getter, guys. So the Aces basically got some more firepower. And then remember, too, guys, they had no first round pick because of the disciplinary action that went against them in regard to the whole situation with De'Erica Hamby. That's a story for another day, but they were not given a first round pick because of that. So there you go. So that is the Aces story. And then remember, too, guys, you got some missing players there that has moved on. Sydney Colson, she's gone. Kelsey Plum, she's gone to L.A. You did bring back the likes of the Gold Mamba there. So you have her in the fold, Jewel Lloyd. And then also, too, you lost your steady veteran, Alicia Clark. So you do have some spots to fill, guys. So maybe these two ladies stick. We'll see. So there you go in that regard. Speaking of Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Sparks, coached by first-year coach Lynn Roberts, a California native who knows the California language and if you will, in the lay of the land as far as Cali goes. And guys, with the 9th pick, they took Sarah Ashley Barker. I just mentioned her, being that Aaliyah Nye came there to watch her get drafted. But Barker, she goes 9th in the draft, a shooting guard, and someone who had a very solid senior year for the Alabama team. So you definitely like to see that her game matured. And then in the second round, they get Sanaya Fagan, the power forward / center coming out of South Carolina at the 21st pick. And then the Yatu King out of Notre Dame, they got with the 28th pick. She's a small forward. But Fagan as well, she had a solid senior year for Dawn Staley's team. So she could definitely have a chance there as far as with the Sparks right now. And then remember, too, Cameron Brink, she's on the men, guys. And from what I was hearing, because they talked about it during the draft, you might not get her back until June. So you're going to need some size, guys. I understand. I get it. You still have a De'Erica Hamby there. You still have Azaree Stevens there also. So you got a bit of size. Mercedes Russell, she's still on the squad. So you're going to have to maybe Fagan sticks around. We'll see what happens. But I think Barker, there's definitely room for her on this squad. Their starting lineup will probably consist of Kelsey Plum, obviously, Hamby as well, also Rekia Jackson. And then from there, it's kind of a crapshoot, guys. So could Barker impress and be a starter when all is said and done? We'll see. But that's something that Lynn Roberts will have to figure out. But it's definitely some space here for players to come in. So that's a good thing. Moving on, the Minnesota Lynx. Cheryl Reeves, and you know Cheryl Reeves, unless she's forced to, she's not going to play her rookies. You saw last year, Elisa Peely barely got off the bench, guys. So as far as the draft, they had ladder picks, guys. With pick 15 in the second round, they took Anastasia Koso out of Russia. She's a small forward. Mind you, that's more of a stash pick, the kind of picks that Cheryl Reeves likes. She likes to stash them overseas, and then when they're ready, she brings them over. So I think Kuso could be that for them, guys. And Delayla Daniels, they got towards the latter end of the second round. She's out of Washington, guys, a power forward. And then towards the end of the draft at 37, they take Aubrey Griffin out of UConn, guys, a small forward. And then remember, too, I mentioned previously with pick 11, they sent that to Chicago for a outright first-round pick in 2026. So there you go in that regard. But, again, I think the Anastasia pick is a stash. Everything else that's up for grabs, pretty much so. All right, let us move on. The New York Liberty, they only had one pick, and that's at the latter end of the third round, guys. And that pick was Asia Kane, a forward actually out of France, guys. So this is a draft and stash, guys. Much like they did with Leonie Fibish, this is a player you stash overseas, and then when they're seasoned and mature, you bring them over. So, but right now, the Liberty is loaded for bear, guys. They were able to add, although they lost Courtney Vandersloot, they were able to add via trade Natasha Cloud. So that's a major get for them, guys. They have a floor general there who can now take the place of Vandersloot, and definitely she's a two-way player, guys. Something you desperately needed when you have to have Sabrina Ionescu in there. You need somebody who can be a defensive stalwart beside her, and Natasha Cloud can be that, guys. And then Marianne Johannes, she'll be back. Maureen Johannes, she'll be back for them, guys. She sat out last year because of the Olympics, but she'll be back in the fold, guys. Breonna Stewart, she's back as well. So they're loaded, guys. They're loaded. The only caveat is Banaji Laney Hamilton looks like she's going to be out for the year, guys. So all eyes are pointed at Marquisha Davis, their draft pick from last year. We'll see if she's ready for prime time in that regard. But, of course, you're going to have – this won't trouble the starting lineup because you'll still have Leone Phoebus in there in the front court with Breonna Stewart and Jonquel Jones. And your backcourt is Sabrina and Natasha. So coming off that bench, you're going to need Marquisha to be one of those players coming off your bench to give you something. So we'll see how that goes. All right, so that is the Liberty. Phoenix had no picks at all, guys. So Nate Tibbetts, he's going with the hand that he's being dealt in that regard. And mind you, they brought in the likes of Asatu Sabali, guys. So she's there. Kalani Brown, they brought her in via trade and quite possibly could end up being the starting center on opening night. And then also, too, remember, they still have in the fold Kalia Copper there. So you still have her there. And Alyssa Thomas, I'm sorry. That was your big get, guys. So there's a lot of room for the Mercury here. They got the players there, so we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll bring a undrafted player in into training camp. We'll see. But that's the way that's looking in that regard. Let us move on. Seattle, guys. Noel Quinn. I think, guys, don't think I'm speaking out of school here. I think this is a make or break season for Noel Quinn. I think she has to do something substantial in the playoffs to keep her job. I was actually surprised that when the dust settled, especially once that lawsuit came out as far as Jewel Lloyd and how she put out the harassment suit there, I thought maybe the axe will fall on Quinn. It did not. And Lloyd ended up getting traded. So that kind of saved her. But I think she is on the clock right now as far as her job goes. So she needs to go a long distance in these playoffs for her to secure a job, I think. So we'll see. With that said, their draft picks, the second pick, Dominique Belonga. And this young lady has been wowing everybody. She's coming out of France, guys. She's 6'6". She's able to dunk the basketball. They show highlights of her. I saw a highlight package as well. She has a nice touch inside. She has a face-up game as well. A lot of people are calling her the female Wimby. We'll see about that. But a lot of talk about her. She's a stretch five with range is what they're saying about her. So she's only 19 years old, guys. So, you know, it's going to take her some time. She's come to a prime situation, though, because you have veterans there like NECA Awumake, a vet who has seen it all, done it all. You also have Ezzie McBegor, a defensive center inside. So she's going to have the people to learn from. And I think Seattle just has to be patient with her. But there's budding promise with this young lady here. And then towards the third round, they get a Serena Sundell. I think this is a player who can be a value pick, guys. She plays the point guard position coming out of Kansas State. And guys, to me at least, she's a nice size for a guard, 6'2". And I tell you what, guys, if I'm Nika Mall, who sat on the bench all season long, then she goes overseas and she tears up a knee So she won't be 100% going into training camp. I think I'd be worried if I'm Nika Moll, because I think Serena Sundell, I think she has a chance to get a roster, to claim a roster spot. That's how good I think she is, guys. And then, like I said, you have Neka Awumake there, Ezzie McGore. You have her. Lexi Brown, you were able to get. Alicia Clark, she's come back to Seattle, guys. So you have her. Skylar Diggins-Smith, obviously, that's your floor general. Jordan Horston, I think this is a year kind of make a break for her, Jordan Horston. I think this is an opportunity for her to kind of step up. Katie Lou Samuelson, you was able to bring in also. Gabby Williams is in the fold as well. You kind of forget about her, but and I think having Gabby Williams there will be a help to Malongo as she transitions from France to the U.S. here, because they were both on the Olympic team for France. So, well, part of the French pipeline of players, so she'll be able to assist her along. But and then your other picks were Madison Connor out of TCU at pick 29, Jordan Hobbs out of Michigan, another point guard you pick with the 34th pick. So there you go in that regard. And the last team, guys, the Washington Mystics, who a lot of people are saying that they had the best draft, even over Dallas. And they have a new coach there, Sidney Johnson, so we'll see how he's able to get the squad going. With the number 3 pick, they picked Sonia Sintron out of Notre Dame. She was somebody who was climbing up the draft board, and she was picked at number 2. She's a two-way player, guys, who could start right away for them. And then with the very next pick, Kiki Arifin. And what more can I say about her? I think she could also be a opening night starter. Think about it, guys. You'll have a front court of Aaliyah Edwards, Shakira Austin, and Akiki Arifin. Wow. That is a nice front court. Nice young front court as well, guys. And then with the 6th pick, they had 3 of the top 6 picks. Georgia Amore out of Kentucky, who had a fantastic year for Coach Kenny Brooks. She followed him after he left Va Tech. He went to Kentucky. She followed them there. She had a fantastic year, as I said. And that's your point guard there. 5'3", so she's a bit on the small side. But she has heart, guys. So she really has a chance to be the floor general over there, guys. That's how dire the situation in Washington is. Because right now, you don't really have that point guard on your roster that can run the floor and get everybody involved. And then remember, too, guys, they still have players there. You have players like a Brittany Sykes there. Also, you have players like Emily Exler, who actually came on, guys, towards the latter part of the season. And then also, like I said, Leah Edwards, Shakira Austin, Stephanie Dolson is still on the squad as well. So you have depth as far as the front court goes, as far as center goes. So a lot of opportunity here, guys. And then in your second round, you picked up Lucy Olsen out of Iowa, who had to fill the large shoes of Caitlin Clark after she left. And she was able to do a little bit of something there. So you have her. She has a good chance of making the squad. And then Zaya Green out of Alabama, the point guard, she was picked 32nd. So there you go. So that is your draft, guys. As far as players not drafted, a lot of people were happy about this. Sedona Prince, she was not drafted, guys. A lot of things went into that. Coming out of TCU, she played with Haley Van Lith. She was a five-year senior, guys, with a long injury history, guys. She's also 24 years old, so she's got some years on her. And then those multiple domestic violence charges that's been levied against her. So a lot of people were kind of sour on her, didn't want her to get drafted at all, and it seems like it didn't happen. Will she get invited to someone's training camp? Possibly, guys. So we'll see what happens there. And then Deja Kelly, a longtime North Carolina Tar Heel who transferred to Oregon, shooting guard at 5'8", so kind of on the smaller side. She didn't get drafted. And then Diamond Johnson out of Norfolk State, shooting guard who can fill it up, but she wasn't drafted either. So could any of these ladies get training camp invites? Absolutely. So I don't rule that out. So what happens with them, we'll see what happens. So, all right, guys. So that's all the draft talk. One last thing before I close out. I wanted to play this sound from the commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, because she was asked about the Unrivaled League, because towards the latter end, she did attend some games down there in Miami, the Unrivaled games. And this is what she said. That just take a listen, guys. Hang on a second.
Besides, I mean, there's nothing particular on the basketball side that I would do. I think on the kind of fan engagement side, I mean, most of the people I met there, I think 75% of their fans are fly-in for games. Obviously, it's a very small fan base, I think 800 or so that go to their games. Obviously, we'll have 17, 15, 18, 20,000 in our games, so it's a different scale from a fan perspective. But again, I think it's great that, again, growing women's basketball in a different way. Obviously, a different version of 3x3 is in the Olympics, not the two-thirds court, but, you know, the half court. So looking at that difference, I love the faster shot clock, quite frankly. I think that could argue it's already fast for those of you that sit, you know, lower in our arenas, really fast. But a little shorter shot clock is interesting.
So that's what she said in that regard. A lot of people said she sound pretty smug about what the Unrivaled League did, and that basically she could, just the fast shot clock, the fan engagement, that was the only things that really stood out. Of course, a lot of people are saying, how about the pay? And, you know, an argument could be made that with the Unrivaled League, you're in one venue, you don't have to worry about travel or anything like that. So that keeps the cost down. You have the sponsorships and all those sort of things. So that's how they were able to. And actually, they ended up making $27 million, which is pretty good for a fledgling league that's just starting out. That's pretty good. So there's that. But, you know, definitely social media presence of Unrivaled. I thought it was fantastic from each of the teams there. Not only the social media postings, but the engagement as well. I thought they hit it out of the park with that. So could the W use some of that? Absolutely could. But so a lot of people thought she came off a bit you know, like, yeah, that's a nice little league over there, but we have this here. And you really can't, it's kind of like you're talking down to that league that actually enjoys some pretty good success. So that's what I took out of it. But we can discuss it more on another day. Anyway, all right, I thank you for listening. All Things Basketball with GD.com is the website. As you see, guys, I sound a bit better, thankfully. This cold is starting to subside, so there you go. So that's the website. All my stuff is on there as far as the episodes, the clips, and those sort of things. My donate buttons are there as well. Buy me a coffee, PayPal, Spotify, donate. And then, of course, in my scroll, I always have the Cash App there. Hit up the show, guys. Help your boy out with a little coin if you can. I understand, you know, we're in some trying times, but if you got some extra income there that you like to throw your boy's way, it'll be welcome and appreciated. So there's that. Everywhere as far as podcast platforms, I'm there. Apple, leave reviews, like them. 5 stars, please, guys. YouTube, I'm there. LinkedIn, I post there. Also, social media, TikTok for the moment. IG, Blue Sky, a little bit of Facebook, and that's about it. So, guys, next time I come to you, playoff preview, guys. The play-in should be done around that time, so I'll be able to give you my preview of the playoffs, and we'll just get the ball rolling in that regard. I thank you for listening, as always. We'll talk soon, guys. Take care.